Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Please join me in this morning's scripture reading, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. The voice of my beloved comes, leaping upon the bounding. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks in
online channel. Life is not just a series of destinations, but a journey of discovery. Along the way, we are guided by signs, markers of wisdom, that invite us to pause, to reflect, to grow. Wisdom is not found in a single answer, but in the questions we ask, the roads we take, and the moments of stillness in between. As we navigate this path, we are reminded, it's not about where we're going, but who we become along the way.
I had lunch with a colleague about a week and a half ago. I think it's important to remain connected with colleagues. This particular colleague, not a United Methodist colleague, he comes from the Baptist tradition. And we had some great tacos at this spot out in La Mesa. It was fantastic. I think it was called City Tacos. Maybe you know it. Anyway, delicious. And as we were sort of finishing our conversation, I heard a song on, you know, the background music that plays in many public spots. And it was a song maybe you've heard in those same circumstances. It's a song called The Reason. And if you don't know the band, it's sort of an unusual name. The band is lyrics for this particular song open in this way. It says, I'm not a perfect person. There's many things I wish I didn't do. But I continue learning. I never meant to do those things to you. And so I have to say before I go that I just want you to know I found a reason for me to change who I used to be, a reason to start over new, and the reason is you. Now, I know that song. I know that song well. I've played that song and sung that song, but here's what I said to my colleague and friend. I said, you've heard this song 100 times. He was very familiar with it. I said, imagine that song as Peter's response after denying Jesus. And hear these same lyrics again. With that in mind, imagine Peter saying to Jesus, I'm not a perfect person. Many things I wish I could do, but I continue learning. I do those things to before I know. I found a reason for me to change who I used to be, a reason to start over new, and the reason is you. He said to me, I can never hear that song again without thinking about Peter talking to Jesus. This particular idea was a focus of mine in seminary. I've said to you before, my friends, I've said to you before that I hold our sacred text absolutely as sacred. But as I said with our children this morning, if I believe in an infinite God, then I believe that God's word, God's message to humanity is not only contained here in these beautiful writings, but that God is still speaking. I believe it, my friends, that God is still speaking. And I believe that we can hear messages that point us to God. In our classic hymns, Love divine, all loves excelling, indeed, is a message that points us to God. But when you hear a song on the radio that's not the Christian radio station, and that's the song that makes you think about your faith, your spirituality, your Christ, is that any less beautiful? And for me, the answer is no, it's not any less beautiful. Written by Bill Friskix Warren. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. The title is I'll Take You There, Pop Music and the Urge for Transcendence. And he writes this in the prologue. Talking about pop music in the same breath as transcendence might strike some people as high-minded or over-earnest, if not as altogether quixotic. Such a reception almost certainly would have greeted this book during the irony-clad decade that preceded this as a project in seminary that I did to a significant extent when I was serving in Nebraska, is called Eutuchorist. You may remember that for a Maundy Thursday here in this sanctuary, we did what I'd sound, I think, communion service using the music of the Irish rock band U2. I'm wearing my favorite color, red. I always like to wear a T-shirt under. It's black, but it's my Eutuchorist shirt. This is the Eutuchorist logo that I designed way back when I did this project in seminary. Do you have that, Cam? So that's what my T-shirt says. And we put this out in some
powerful elements of spirituality. UM4GI invites you to feel this power through music on April 17th at Eutuchorist. All ages and faith traditions are invited to join in worship and communion. U2's biblical music of U2 is filled with powerful elements.
There we go. A 30-second radio spot that was not on the Christian radio station. Do you know how many people we had come? We didn't hold it at a church. We held it at a place, you heard on the ad, we held it at a place called the Grand Theater. It seated 300 plus. It was a one-screen movie theater that was old enough that it still had a stage in front because that's how theaters used to be made. It's a theater that if you go back and look at some of the historical documents that are made available by the nonprofit who runs it, you can find information about when they transitioned to the talkies. That's how old this theater is. It's a classic theater. Like I said, it has a big stage on front. But when you have a big stage in front and you have a big movie screen behind you, you can't help but want to use multiple elements of media. And if we take care with the volume, can I show you about 30 seconds of what that looked like? Can I show that to you? Let's show that clip.
You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life. What is one need in the night? It's one love. You can't share it. Could mean to baby if you don't care.
I see some heads nodding. You like the rhythm. That particular song was what we used for our offertory. We took a freewill offering during the service. There were people there who were church people and a lot of people who I talked to who said, I don't go to church, but I came to this. It held a freewill offering. It went to support an organization in that town called Hope Harbor. It's a transitional shelter for women and children. What we did for them during my 3 years in Grand Island was their second biggest fundraiser every year, and it was simply a freewill offering. And they were probably the most well-respected nonprofit in town. We actually won an arts award my last year from the local newspaper for putting on music and art. I don't say that to, you know, pat myself on the head. I do say that to suggest that when we embrace a God who speaks in unexpected ways, that uncommon wisdom resonates with people. People respond. Now, this really serves to introduce the entirety of this sermon series, this idea of uncommon wisdom. as we look through over the next several weeks, as we look through some scriptures that we honestly don't often preach from, don't often hear in church. And they're part of the Revised Common Lectionary. They're part of those scriptures that come up, you know, each and every week. But we preachers might prefer to preach on, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 or walking on water. We might prefer to preach on the incredible Exodus story. But perhaps even as we acknowledge that there are ways to experience uncommon wisdom outside of sacred text, that also we can experience uncommon wisdom in some of the books that we don't read as often. The book Song of Solomon sometimes goes by the name Song of Songs, sometimes goes by the name Canticles. And if you read the whole thing, you would say, gosh, am I allowed to read this in church? There are some descriptive passages, shall we say. And yet, can we find uncommon wisdom here in Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, Canticles? Well, friends, didn't we just experience a sermon series talking about the elements of worship where we got into some of the more salacious parts of David's family drama? If we can find uncommon wisdom in even the more difficult parts of those stories, surely we can find uncommon wisdom in poetry of love. That's what Song of Solomon is. It's poetry about love. Now, scholars and theologians will talk about how, well, maybe you don't have to read it exactly literally. Maybe it's not a historical thing. Maybe you don't have to read it that way. Maybe it's an allegory about God's love for the Jewish people. This is sandwiched in between Ecclesiastes and the prophet Isaiah. It's a Hebrew Bible text, an Old Testament text. And so it's often talked about in scholarly circles as an allegory for God's love for God's people, the Israelites. But many Christians would say it's also an allegory, like think of it in layers, it's also an allegory of Christ and Christ's love for the church. Maybe we can find uncommon wisdom in reading it in this way. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look. There he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. Do you see how the descriptive brings so many images to mind? And part of what it brings to mind is a sense of separation. Do we not sometimes have that feeling that we are far away from God? Do we not sometimes have that feeling that we are far away from Christ? And sometimes we blame God. Sometimes we blame Christ for those things. And sometimes we blame ourselves. I'm so broken that I don't deserve God's love. I know there are people who have said that. I can't believe God would do this to me. God must be bad or mad or horrible or far away. I know people have said that. Are there not those of us who have experienced that feeling of separation? Very often accompanied with a sense of longing, a longing for the end of that separation. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. Pardon me while I try to turn a page here. It's going to take two hands. Well, all right. It's a good thing I have it here. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, for now the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The time of separation is done. The time of that distance between our Creator and ourselves does not have to be. We can seek out uncommon wisdom. God continues to speak. Speak in unexpected ways. Speak in unexpected voices. Surely through our hymns and our classic theologies, but perhaps in other ways as well. We all in this space have heard the voice of young prophetic persons giving an entire sermon in 30 seconds out of the mouths of babes. Indeed, perhaps the time of separation is over. There's another interesting observation about this particular passage. It starts with listening, and then it moves to looking, and then it says, arise. Perhaps we can start with opening our ears to hear the voice of God calling. When we hear that voice, open our eyes to perceive the divine even more fully. And then arising and responding. Responding to the call, responding to what we can see with our newly opened eyes, responding to the God who calls us all. Theologian Julia O'Brien writes this. She says, when this pericope is read with its allegorical and historical aspects in creative play, it celebrates and perhaps even creates the feelings of passionate desiring and knowing oneself to be passionately desired. While loving and being loved are not the only goals of human existence, they can be transformative experiences that not only lead us to praise the one who makes joy possible, but also exercise our capacities for love. Glimpsing oneself, not as perfect, but perfect for someone, wanted, sought after, is a cause for singing both secular love songs and hymns. Indeed, as the scripture calls to us, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. Let us sing our faith. With all the words and lyrics and melodies, let us sing our faith openly. Having listened, having opened our eyes, having arisen in response, seeking uncommon wisdom and responding. Amen.